Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My question for you this morning is, what makes for a good movie? Is it action? Explosions? Scenes where people are getting blown up and buildings are being decimated? Well, not really. Not by itself. A movie really needs to have a good plot. You can have excellent actors and actresses, but the plot stinks. The movie just doesn't sell. People don't go. And you can't have a plot unless people are talking in the movie. That's probably why Hollywood hasn't shot a silent movie since 1935. 80 years ago. I must confess that I've never once watched a silent movie from beginning to end. I've seen plenty of clips with Charlie Chaplin twirling his cane and walking down the road whimsically. But I gotta be honest with you, it really doesn't matter because we don't memorize acts of movies. We memorize lines within movies. I'll give you a few lines and you see if you can finish them. My mom always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Forrest Gump. Toto, I have a feeling that we're not in anymore. Wizard of Oz. Lois, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Casablanca, some of us are a little young for that one. E.T. phone.
Home.
There's no place like
home.
Here's looking at you.
Yeah.
There's a few other ones that are not appropriate for church. The dialogue makes all the difference. That's what you and I remember when we go to a movie, the lines that pop out. But you realize it's the words that are the high point and center of what we do as Lutherans in worship. We'll be reminded this morning that God's word is shared from the pulpit, from the mouth of, at times, not real gifted men, but words that are shared just the same. The attention's not supposed to be upon the man. Probably a good reason why our Lutheran fathers vested us to cover us up, so you're not sitting there wondering, I wonder if that suit is Armani or if it's Sears and Roebuck. You shouldn't be worried about what kind of tie I'm wearing. You should be listening to the words that are spoken. And what do we know about the words that were spoken? You see, it was about 6 months before Jesus was crucified that he commissioned 72 of his disciples to go out and be missionaries throughout Israel. Before sending them out, he told them that they're going to go out as lambs among wolves. Question for you is, how would you like to be a lamb in the midst of a bunch of wolves? Can you imagine the gulp that went down the throat of me and those disciples as Jesus says, you're going to go out as lambs amongst wolves? It's like, really? Lambs among wolves? What chance would they have of succeeding in their mission to proclaim the gospel of Christ? Wouldn't it have been far better for Jesus to send him out of wolves among lambs? Then they could have stride out in great pride and arrogance and stand before anyone never fearing at all. Because wolves are fierce. Wolves are not meek like lambs, but that's just the point Jesus was making. As the disciple of Christ, you are not to go out and accomplish the mission through fear tactics and intimidation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a strong arm move to get people into heaven. The fact of the matter is, the gospel of Christ is spoken through simple words. The apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It's simple words. God's done it before. Creation, let there be, and there was. Words. Simple words. But the fact of the matter is, they're not my words. In fact, Jesus said, the one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me, him, or me, rejects the one who sent me. 2,000 years have passed since Jesus sent out the first 72 missionaries into the world, and the voice of missionaries is still heard around the world today. In fact, you hear the voice of a missionary right now as I speak. But Jesus wants you to know one important point. These are not the words of Jeff Bloom. You should be hearing the word of Christ if done properly, based upon God's word. His voice you should be hearing. But you know what makes my calling as a pastor so easy? In one regard, my role as a pastor is not to come up with new materials every week. My role as your pastor is not to entertain you, but it is to feed you. That's why you receive a heavy diet of two main teachings of the Bible, both God's law and His gospel. Now, for some of you, it's been a little while since you went through confirmation class, but I'm confident you still know what the law is. The law is God's thou shalt and thou shalt not. However, you also know that the law doesn't show us how to get to heaven. That's not the point of the law. The law is to reveal just how far from heaven you are. Imagine the law as being a GPS-enabled phone. That phone will tell you where you're at, but that phone ain't going to tell you how to get to where you're going. See, the reality is that the law is never meant to be a means of salvation for you and for me. Therefore, the law, in reality, should crush you. It should crush your pride in yourself, kind of like a pinprick to a balloon. The law should deflate you. The law should get you to the point where you think to yourself, there is no hope, no hope for me at all. Leading up today, I've been asking people what their favorite movie line is, and to my dismay, many people don't have very many favorite movie lines, although they can identify the ones I just told you. But I asked our head elder his favorite movie line, and he said, "The truth, you can't handle the truth." Remember that from The Few Good Men? See, that's the law. You can't handle the truth of the law. Because the law always convicts, the law always condemns, the law never brings joy. But yet there's many who live in the world today that try to live their life in the law. Not based upon the means of grace that God has given, the sacraments through which Christ forgives our sins and strengthens our faith, but they attempt to live their life fully based upon what they do and don't do according to God's word. And dear friends, like a GPS-enabled phone, it don't get you to heaven. The law only convinces you how short of heaven you have fallen. So, when I make you squirm in your pew, and from time to time I do, there'll be times when I'll address a law that you struggle with. And you're going to think to yourself, how does he know that about me? He is talking to me today. Well, the reality is, if you're struggling with a sin, don't tune me out. Remember who's speaking to you. Jesus says, the one who hears you hears me. Therefore, the voice you hear is not only the voice of your pastor, but according to Jesus, it's literally His voice. Don't brush it off. Don't brush off the demands of the law, but listen to it so that the law may work in your life to bring you to the point of repentance. See, the law is never fun. But of course, I also have the privilege of proclaiming to you the sweetness of the gospel. It's the sweetness that Jesus Christ has done everything to win your forgiveness and to give you eternal life in heaven. Amen. Today you could pray earnestly that I strive to preach this truth in ways that keeps the miracle of Christ's love as something fresh and new to you every single time you come back here. See, a good pastor should be like a good chef that can cook an egg in so many ways that you never get tired of it. You always long for more. For example, we know that the good news of the gospel states that Jesus took our place upon the cross of Calvary and took our punishment for the sins which we have done. Correct? But thinking of that truth, this might give you a new appreciation for what Jesus did for you. Remember a few years ago, the Malaysian airline crashed and they couldn't find it? It was out in, I think, the Indian Ocean, but they couldn't find it. They looked everywhere. They looked and looked and looked. But the reality was that there were two men who were supposedly died on that aircraft, but were later found out to be alive. See, what happened was their passports were on that airplane because someone had stole them and taking an airplane ride in their place, literally dying where they could have been seated. You can imagine the joy of the family when they found out that their loved ones weren't numbered among the 200 that had perished upon that jet airliner. For a while, they may have believed their loved ones were lost, but that was not the case. The reality was that another person had assumed their identity and was doomed to death. You see the connection of the gospel? Jesus Christ assumed your identity. He took your place. He went to that plane-shaped instrument of crucifixion, and there he was nailed to the cross, and he suffered and died in the place of Barabbas. Remember the call? Who shall I free? Jesus of Nazareth, your king, or Barabbas, the one guilty of insurrection and murder? And the people said, Barabbas, Barabbas, free Barabbas. And he walks away free, and Jesus Christ was crucified for him and ultimately for you and for me. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ taking your identity, hell-bent to go to the cross to suffer and die in your place that you may have life and have it to the full. Well, perhaps that illustration doesn't make the gospel any more real or exciting to you. It doesn't mean that you should dismiss it. You see, pastors won't be able to wow you every week. In fact, there's some weeks, quite honestly, that I think the sermon's a clanger because the text just didn't get under my skin and get me all bubbly inside. But I always find it amazing that people always come out of the church, even when I think the sermon is a complete dud, say, Pastor, that was a great sermon. And I have to look away and say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Even when you go out to a fancy restaurant, have you noticed that you still work to be done? You still have to pick up your fork and your knife and cut the meat and eat it. And when you come here to worship, there's also preparation and a part of the service that you are involved with. The biggest part is just receiving the gifts that God has given. To understand who you are and joyfully receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, either in flesh and body and blood upon the altar or through the water of holy baptism or even in the voice of your pastor pronouncing your forgiveness, but joyfully receiving it and in faith believing that your sins are truly forgiven. When we're tempted to think that God's word is just a collection of tired old stories that you've heard 1,000 times before, would be well to return to the words of Luke chapter 10. There you'll read about 72 missionaries who return from their trip and they are completely and utterly elated. They had seen the power of the Holy Spirit. They were able to cast out demons and do all kinds of miraculous acts, and they were excited about all that they had done. In reply, Jesus said that he had seen Satan fall like lightning. Yeah, God's word is powerful. It drops Satan to his knees and powerfully as a bolt of lightning. Sure, God's word is seen at times as being boring and perhaps even lifeless. But so does electricity. But where would we be without it? You and I would still be stuck in the dark. You and I would still be lost. How much worse off will we be without God's word? And those who God has called to go before his people to assure them every week of his love for them. That's the greatest part for me about being your pastor, is to have the privilege of standing each week in front of you to tell you of God's love for you. This week, I remind you that he took your place. He took your identity to suffer and die for you. Still, Satan will do his best to make us think that Lutheran worship and the preaching of God's word is dead. Where's the action, Pastor? Where's the jokes? Where is all that daily routine? It gets so monotonous and it's boring. Well, yes, the real miracle this morning is that you're here. For by nature, we'd rather not sitting in church on a Sunday morning. There's other things to do. But the reality is, because you're here shows that the Holy Spirit is continuing to work in your life to strengthen your faith and your knowledge in him. So this morning, as you leave this place, we give thanks to God that he sends out missionaries to proclaim his word to you. And by the way, you're missionaries too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.